Blog Talk Radio.
Keep it locked on Hindsight Radio. Keep it locked on Hindsight Radio.
I want to. I like to introduce myself. My name is Abismarcky, and well, I'm the human orchestra called Abismarcky. Making music all the way is my specialty. Why not go boom? I want to. Girls get excited when they hear my lyrics. They wanna recite them. I know you're in the mood. Just go with the flow, and I can play rapping records and all disco, like Beat It, Billy Jean, by Michael Jackson, or the Treasures to your record. They gon' ask you when you hear me do it. You will be shocked and amazed. It's the brand new thing they call the human beatbox craze.
Make the music. Make the music make some outfit. Make the music make some
outfit. Well, I don't just do the beatbox. I rock on the mic and all the bomb that I say. All the people like, I get the crowd jumping, get the girls' hearts pumping. All the party people say, isn't he something? Rock from New York City all the way down south. Saying rhymes and making music, book my mouth. I'ma tell your party people how I began. It started when I'm living in Long Island. Hey, when I was a kid, I used to play in the street, making sounds with my mouth, all sorts of beats. Grown people used to say, what? Grown people used to say, what? Wrong with that. Making that strange noise, it was like for all the flyers and all the homeboys. Then I tried it at a homeboy's basement party. They thought it was a record laying over me. When it came by the DJ and saw who it is, they said, make the music with your mouth, bitch.
Make the music with your mouth, bitch. Make the music with your mouth, bitch.
It's a moving combination with your lip, tongue, and toe. Use your teeth in your nose for a mysterious I know. I like doing it as a hobby of a job. People treat me like a star and surround me in the ball. It's not all about spitting, breathing hard and chewing. You need practice, be ambitious and schooling. Let me tell you, party people, you gotta admit, anything that you want, you gotta work hard for it. That's why I like doing sounds. It's hard to achieve, making two or three sounds at one time you can't believe. When I walk down the street, people crowd around me. All them sounds and one time it's marquee. I jumped it takes a lot of practice and lip control. I've been doing it since 15 years old. And everywhere I stick with, the people say I'm good. I even get big respect in my own neighborhood. I'm telling you a fact, and just like it is, even mom, pops, and cops say, what a biz. Everywhere I go, I always rock the boat. Gonna end this rhyme with this one note. Not gonna act conceited and say I'm the best, but I'm guaranteed to pass any kind of test. I say they're fine with funky fresh lyrics. When I do the beat, the party people going to the spirit. That's why I'm here, to say today that I'm doing my beat in a special way. Making musical tunes orally, I have perfected. I'm very well known, greatly respected. I like to thank people without no doubt. Peace, high party people, it's time to break.
Make the music, make the music, make the music with your mind. Come here.
Keep it locked on Hindsight Radio.
According to. Now, when you write a letter, do you sign it according to? According to is the third party. If Joanne or Jackie or Bobby or Johnny told me something and I wrote it, I would say according to Joanne, Jackie, Bobby, or Ronnie. According to. But those four people would not write a letter and in front of it say Jackie according to Jackie and not even write her last name. Because if Jackie wrote me a check and only said Jackie, I couldn't cash it. And if I was a policeman and I stopped Jackie on the road and she had a license that only said Jackie, she's going to jail. Where in the world is a document with only one name of four different writers that did not meet the one whom they're writing about? Where is that accepted in the whole world? Nowhere except in the Bible. And the church fathers and the church writers and the Christian historians, they all agree that perhaps those four writers themselves were only pen names. Because a writer would not write his first name according to. And there's a great amount of suspicion that the man called Paul, Saul of Tarsus, that because he wrote all the books from Acts all the way to the end of the New Testament, how many books is that? How many? 16? 15? 17? 19? All the books of Acts on, Colossians, Ephesians, Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, all of those books are written by whom? Paul, Saul of Tarsus, another man who never walked, who never talked, who never met, who never ate, who never prayed, who never knew Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Now here we find four writers and another one between them that wrote all the New Testament books that never talked, never walked, never ate, never prayed, never met the man called Jesus Christ. Yet, in their words, the first mentioning of the Trinity came from where? From Jesus or from them? The first mentioning of Jesus being divine, a man God, came from whom? From them. The first mentioning that Jesus is the Son of God came from whom? From them. Jesus never said in his own words any such words, but it was the men who never met him, who claimed to have written, who didn't know their last names. And Paul, by the way, before he had that vision on the road to Damascus that only he saw and only he heard, guess what his occupation was? Do you know? He was a bounty hunter. A hunter of Christians, hunting them down like animals, binding them and bringing them to where? To Rome so that they could be executed. Now, if Hitler, after killing thousands of Jews, said that on the road to Berlin, he had a vision that he was named an apostle to the Jews, and he wrote 20 books that all the Jews are supposed to follow, do you think they would be following that book? I don't understand how people just don't read history. This is not what Khalid said, so don't get angry with me. This is your own scripture. Your own Bible scholars, your own church fathers, all of them agree that Paul never met Jesus, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John never met Jesus. By the way, they were not disciples. Nor were they walkers and talkers of the disciples. They were just writers and historians.
Said a lot about the role of the media in a so-called democracy. I'm wondering how you see the role of our educational system, what it's doing right now, what forces are driving it, and what constraints are on it, and how should it operate?
Mm-hmm. Well, I quoted the Trilateral Commission view of the educational system, namely it's a system of indoctrination of the young. And I think that's correct. It's a system of indoctrination of the young. That was the way the liberal elites regard it, and they're more or less accurate. So the educational system is supposed to train people to be obedient, conformist, not think too much, do what you're told, stay passive, don't cause any crises of democracy, don't raise any questions, and so on. That's basically what the system is about. Even the fact that the system has a lot of stupidity in it, I think, has a function. You know, it means that people are filtered out for obedience. If you can guarantee lots of stupidity in the educational system, you know, like stupid assignments and things like that, you know that the only people who will make it through are people like me and like most of you, I guess, who are willing to do it no matter how stupid it is, because we want to go to the next step, you know. So you may know that this assignment is idiotic and the guy up there couldn't think his way out of a paper bag, but you'll do it anyway because that's the way you get to the next class and you want to make it and so on and so forth. Well, there are people who don't do that, you know. There are people who say, I'm not going to do it, it's too ridiculous, you know. Those people are called behavioral problems or something like that. They end up in the principal's office or in the streets or selling drugs or whatever. And all of this is a technique for selection for obedience. And I don't know how to prove this, but I have a feeling that when you go to the elite universities, you find more obedience and conformity, probably because you're getting the students who were better able to do it. You know? Well, all of that is functional. That's the way it works. But it works right through graduate school. I mean, by the time you get to graduate school, it's already a little more varied because some real contradictions develop in the system. The problem is that you can't have progress this way. You know, now, especially in the sciences and engineering, that's a problem because the corporations need science and engineering. You know, if you don't have innovation, you're really in trouble. So they have to encourage creativity and independence because you can't get anywhere if you just copy what somebody told you. You have to be challenging things all the time, challenging everything, you know, and thinking new thoughts and so on. And there you got a real contradiction. It's hard to train people to be creative and challenging and so on, and yet to ensure that somewhere else in their lives they're conformist and obedient and never think. So you have problems. That's a serious problem in Japan, incidentally. We think of Japan as this tremendous superpower, but that's very misleading. Japan, for example, is very poor in science, for example, and they're aware of it. And part of the reason is it's part of the same thing that makes them good workers, obedient workers. It's a very obedient society, very deferential and conformist society. And one effect of that is that, you know, there are real constraints against independent, free thinking, and you see it in the sciences very clearly. But it's a problem here, too. So there are those contradictions, and when you get to graduate school, they're beginning to show up. They show up much less in the ideological subjects, because there it doesn't matter so much if people have, you know, profits aren't made by historians having original ideas about the French Revolution, so they can have conventional ideas. And that means that the pressure to try to support innovation and freedom is much less, and the pressures for conformity, on the other hand, are much greater, because in the ideological subjects it begins to be dangerous if people think the wrong thoughts. It's not so dangerous if they have new ideas about physics. But nevertheless, you know, you begin to get a little flux in the system by the time you get to graduate school. And even at lower levels, you find it. I mean, there are teachers who do stimulate thought, and sometimes they get away with it. And all the way through, you know, if people are learning things, you just can't control. You can't make them just regurgitate what they heard. Now, there's a lot of pressure to turn the schools into the Marine Corps, and there's a lot of support for it. For example, there's this bestseller last couple of years by Alan Bloom. That was all over the supermarkets, Closing the American Mind, huge bestseller, supermarket racks, which is where I read it, and things like that. Well, you take a look at what he's saying. And there was plenty, you know, a lot of enthusiastic accolades for it and so on. He was saying that a couple of us smart guys will decide what the great thoughts are, and every student will memorize them, and that's education. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, that's a way to turn people into pure automata. I mean, even if they happen to pick the great thoughts, there is no way less likely to get anybody to think about those thoughts than to make that the curriculum. That finishes them off, you know. And I think that's the purpose, really. I mean, the purpose is just to impose authority, you know. Here's the great thoughts. All this other stuff is rubbish. Just learn those and you're okay. I'll pick them. You memorize them. That's basically the line. Now, of course, that's the opposite of education. I mean, that's the way you study Talmud or something like that. But it's very popular, and I think it reflects the same concern over the crisis of democracy. In fact, Bloom himself was extremely... The incident that really got to him was a case in Cornell where he was a professor, where some black students took over one of the buildings. And he said that's just like the Nazis, you know, back to the Nazis. He has a whole business about the Nazis and so on and so forth. Well, you take a look at what happened in that. He doesn't tell you what he thought. And he says the faculty capitulated, you know, just like Heidegger capitulated to the Nazis and so on. What actually happened, if you look back, is that there were real grievances. Undoubtedly, the students shouldn't have done what they did and go into the building with guns and so on. But it was settled very amicably. It was settled amicably. Nobody was killed. The grievances were to some extent dealt with, and the net result was better than it was before. Well, he didn't tell you what he thought they should have done, but it's sort of implicit. I mean, I guess they should have bombed the place or something like that. But that's what really set him off. And in general, what set many people off was the 60s are now described in the literature as if it was a time when students were running around burning libraries and, you know, destroying the foundations of civilization and so on. What was actually going on is they were asking questions. You know, they were raising questions. They were looking into things that people hadn't looked into before. They were not just obedient. And from the point of view of a lot of the faculty, that's equivalent to burning the buildings. You know, you can't even make that small distinction. You can't make that. There's pressure to turn the schools back to the days when you didn't have to worry about those things, like disobedient students asking questions about things that you didn't tell them to think about and so on.
Peace to the gods, peace to the gods. It's on and cracking. You know, we got the seminar jumping off this weekend. So, of course, it's going to be a short show today. Apologies, man, but I got to save my voice. I'm going to be talking all weekend. Y'all know how that be. Y'all listening to Consultation Wednesday with your boy, Jonah Bay. Let me do the announcement for the seminar, then we'll move on to the show. We're going to be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida for the Freedom Tour with your boy, Jonah Bay, Akeem L., and Joey Bounce L. Bay. It's August 12, 2017, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to be talking about freedom, status correction, expatriation, and renunciation. It's $250 at the door. Y'all want to go, contact your boy Akeem L. at 803-917-7919. Once again, 803-917-7919. Of course, this is Consultation Wednesday. But I want to do a quick shout out to Travis Centel. He hit me with this public law 857. It was done August 1st, 1956. I'm going to put it in the chat where y'all can check it out. Just further proof on why we got to change our names to Moore and rock our Moorish badge, because that's who America has the contract with, where they took over the government. Boy, it ain't that many people in here today, but I don't care. I'm going to get in and get out. If they get in late, they're going to miss the show. They're going to have to go back and listen. That's what a lot of people are doing anyway, because it's summertime. You know what I mean? But here go the public law. It starts off with this. Whereas the treaty with such countries in accordance with the usage in such countries, and whereas the councils of the United States in Morocco are permitted to exercise jurisdiction of American nationals under the treaty between the United States and Morocco signed September 16th, 1836. So, you know, I'm going to look shit up. And then it says, in an act of Algeria, signed April 7, 1906. So those are two treaties I'm going to look up and research. Then it says, in the exercise by custom and usage, the same jurisdiction over subjects of Morocco or others who may be designated as proteges under the Convention of Madrid, signed July 3rd, 1880. So dig what it said. The councils of the United States in Morocco are permitted to exercise jurisdiction over American nationals under the treaty. So, peep what they said. This is why I told y'all we got to go to the councils of the United States for them to proclaim we are Moors. By decree. Now, the killer part is, I mean, from my understanding, once you are a Moor, according to this shit, you get to control American nationals under the treaty. That's what it said. So, my whole point is, there could be no republic or return to a republic without the Moors returning. It's the Moors that can get United States of America back on track. But y'all got to come to these seminars and we got to show you how to become Moors instead of being formal Moors. Negro, black, colored, and all that. We got to get rid of that. We need the Council of the United States to recognize you as a Moor. We need the counties of each state to recognize you as Moors. But let me finish reading this public law. Then it goes on and says, under the Convention of Madrid, signed July 3rd, 1880. So notice how far these treaties go back. I mean, you got one treaty that's in 1836. You got the next one that's in 1906. Then you got another one in 1880. You know, I'm going to look up all these treaties. See, this is when you're not under the laws, United States. You will be up once you do what we're going to teach you in the seminars. So it's imperative that y'all come and get the information to become listed under the counselors as being Moors. Not Negro, not Black, not African American. None of that shit. Morocco is now the only foreign country where the councils of the United States exercise such jurisdiction. See? Because when they got us to become 14th Amendments, we left our ancestral trust. Just like the public law I read to y'all, which is, what is it, 74 to 241, you know, the non-citizen national public law. I can't remember right now which one it is, but I think that's correct what I just said. But it's, and then it says, and whereas it is the policy of the United States to continue the exercise of extraterritorial jurisdiction in Morocco at such time as it becomes appropriate. There, you see, so it ain't enough fucking Moors there where they got to get rid of the extraterritorial jurisdiction of Morocco. Morocco, the Empire of Morocco is right here where y'all call America. We got to go back to the land. Then we can make them give up their extraterritorial jurisdiction in Morocco, right here. They're not talking about the Kingdom of Morocco. But let me go on. Resolved by the Senate in the House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled, that the relinquishment by the President at such time as he considers this appropriate of the Council of Constitution of the United States and Morocco is hereby approved, and Section 1693, 4083 to 4091, inclusive of 4097 to 4122, inclusive, and 4125 to 4130, inclusive of the revised statute as amended, are repealed, effective upon the date which the president determines to be appropriate for the relinquishment of such jurisdiction, except so far as it may be necessary to dispose of cases then pending in the consular courts in Morocco. Approved August 1st, 1956. See? So, my point is, they don't have to relinquish their control over Morocco until there's Moors that makes them mandated. And you can't become a Moor without relinquishing the U.S. citizenship. And you have to do that in front of the counselors of the Department of State, Washington, D.C. All this goes together, y'all. This is what's going down. Oh, yeah, it does tie into the Peace and Friendship Treaty. It also ties into the Declaration of Human Rights, because everyone has a right to proclaim a nationality. But we have to do it in front of the counselors. See? Now, with that being said, since it's a short show, I just dropped that. And now I'm going to open up the call lines, see if y'all want to discuss this or if y'all want to ask y'all's question, because it is Consultation Wednesday. So I got to let y'all talk. All right, I'm going to 917-794. Peace to the God. Peace. 917-794. You there? I guess they ain't got no questions. I'm going to move on. I'm going to 757-755. Peace to the God. Peace. 757. Yeah. Yeah, 755. What up, God? Peace to the God. You hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. I couldn't hear you before. You was quiet on me.
Oh, what's up, Jim?
What up, God?
What's up, God? Man, I've been trying to get on your show for the longest time.
Well, you on.
Well, I want to know, I'm still waiting on the injunction. I want to know, could you send that to me by flash drive?
Electronically, right?
Like,
oh, you want it
flash
drive instead of being on the DVD?
Yeah, because I could work it that way. I know you probably don't remember me.
All right, what you need to do is, if you got my number, text it to me. But if you don't, go to my email, which is jonahbay@gmail.com. Text me your order number and all that, and we'll get it out to you that way.
Okay. I want to understand something. Is the Organic Act of 1871, is that the basis of the injunction?
No. The basics of the injunction was Georgia's Constitution, which was 1877.
That's the basis of the injunction.
Yep, that's what I created it off of.
Okay. I might have got the date wrong, because I had that note down there, and I had 1871.
Nah, hold on. I'll bring it up right now. Hold on. That's the one. See, you got to understand, I live in Georgia, right? So,
right.
1871, that's the Organic Act of Washington, D.C. That's how they created Washington, D.C., the federal government.
Okay.
But
right.
1877 Georgia Constitution is the one that I studied because I live in Georgia. And I was in paragraph 4, and I was in section 1 and 2. But, you know, in section 1 of the Georgia, it broke it down so clearly that we were able to find it in every constitution. But what it says is, paragraph 1, laws of general nature shall have uniform operation throughout the state, and no special law shall be enacted in any case for which provisions have been made by an existing general law. So that means if it was a constitution that secured certain rights that you, God-given rights that you had, they couldn't make special laws to try to erode that or take that away. And then it says, no general law affecting private rights shall be varied in any particular case by special legislation, except with free consent. That means free consent means, and then it went on to say you had to agree with it, but you had to do it in writing of all persons to be affected thereby. So it meant that your mother couldn't enter you into the contract for special law. You had to enter yourself into it with your own handwriting. Then it went on to say, and no person under legal disability to contract is capable of such consent. So it broke down how a legal disability is being a baby, being under 18. So someone who was under 18 could never enter the contract called the birth certificate.
Right, right.
See what I'm saying? Someone under 18 can't enter into the contract called the Social Security number. Someone under 18 couldn't enter into the driver's license. So none of that shit was proper, right? So that's the basis of the injunction. And then paragraph 2 went on to say, legislative acts in violation of this Constitution or the Constitution of the United States are void, and your judiciary so declare them. Which means they couldn't come along and create another Constitution to try to take your rights away. Right! Because it would mean that it was against this Constitution. You see what I'm saying? So that was the basis of the injunction.
Yeah, you done blew my mind on this whole process. In terms of the, I'm talking about in terms of the what's organic and what's like, I would say a copy.
Right.
And you break it down. I want to know if I'm correct in this. Like Georgia and the state of Georgia, right? Is it proper to say that the state of Georgia is the United States 14th Amendment citizens, and Georgia is the organic order of America? Is that it? I'm trying to follow my understanding. Is that the proper understanding? Hello? I lost you, Jonah. Forces at work. Yo.
Hello?
Right here, man.
All right. Yeah, they cut me off because we were going in. But go ahead. What were you saying?
I was asking, I was trying to understand, do I have a proper understanding of the organic and the copy? Meaning like
right.
Georgia, for example. The state of Georgia would be the copy.
Yep.
which is for the 14th Amendment citizen, and Georgia would be the organic.
Yeah, the 14th Amendment citizen. The state of is for them.
Right.
Now, Georgia state would be the republic, right? Now, when you're talking about your federal constitution, it's made for 14th Amendment citizens. When you're talking about the republic or the private citizens, you must look at the state's constitutions before 1933.
State's constitution before 1933.
Right. See, because why? State constitutions was made for state nationals.
Mm, I got you.
You know, your federal constitution was made for federal citizens, United States citizens.
The 14th Amendment citizen.
Yes. When it comes to constitutions, that's the public and private.
Are you ever coming this way, man? I'm in Virginia, right?
Yeah, we plan on
coming. Let me know, because I was ready to come to Atlanta, but it just I found out too late. But I need to find out when you coming close this way, because I'm coming to that seminar. I hope it's the same one that you got.
We going to Pennsylvania. Huh? We going to Detroit. Them are the two I know for sure. But we trying to go everywhere, man. We want y'all to become Moors, man. Not just fake shit. Oh. We got to bring our government back.
Absolutely right. That's absolutely right. You know, I was in the nation. I'm in the Nation of Islam, right? But I'm understanding it better, because when I was doing time, the brothers weren't teaching it that way.
Right. Right.
You know, they was on a whole new different level. And ever since I've been listening to you, I'm starting to understand what Noble Drew Ali did. He did everything the same way that you was talking about, how he did everything
right
from in the counties and registered everything in the counties and was never part of this the state, I would say, the state of.
Exactly.
That's a proper understanding of it, right?
Right, it's a total difference, right? The problem is we lost our nationality when we became United States citizens, and they've been controlling us ever since. So the only way to stop being a United States citizen, you got to go before a United States council and say, yo, I don't want the U.S. citizenship no more. I want to be a national of Morocco.
Right.
And that's the law I just showed you. Just was talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll just keep on hitting people with the proof, like, yo, this is what it is. Take it or leave it, man. I don't care if you want to be a Christian, Nation of Islam, More Science Temple, Washita. We all need to proclaim our nationality as Moors.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the More Science Temple. You know,
I can read
Resolution 75 is talking about the Moorish society. It wasn't talking about Moorish Science Temple. It was talking about a whole nother group of Moors. You see what I'm saying? So it just proves Moors. The term Moor has to do with your heritage. It has nothing to do. Moor was your race. Before they started calling us nigger, black, negro, African America, your race was Moor.
Right.
So that means every last one of us of this skin tone with this type of hair and variations are Moors. We're not black. We weren't known as black in law. We were known as Moors in law all over the world.
I was reading your authentication process. How is that directly you have to do all of that in relationship to
have to do it. Let me tell you why you got to do that. You know, I had consultations today, and I was going in on it. You have to do the authentication because the securities are with your straw man. The
right.
security is your inheritance. The securities is the money, right? So you have
right.
to get the real title to those securities, which is the birth certificate. And you have
but
to
what
authenticate.
What if they don't give you the long form, though? What happens if they don't give
did.
You a copy of the long form?
They did. They used to. They changed it up. It doesn't matter. I don't care which one you got. As long as you got a title and you give the title and make the title, you're the owner. When you're the owner, then there's procedures that you do when you give it to the clerk, the special clerk that's on your birth certificate, the one that signed it. What's it called again?
Okay. With the clerk of the court?
I forgot. Is she
Supreme Court
the clerk of the court? What is it called? What'd you say?
I thought it was the clerk. I thought we go to the clerk of the court, the Supreme Court clerk.
No. When it comes to authentication, you go into, you got to send it to the, what is it called?
The registrar. The treasurer?
The registrar. No, the county registrar. The county registrar, the one who created the birth certificate. You got to send your certificate of ownership to her. That's what Rule 220 tells you to do.
Okay. But I got to
right?
find a rule in Virginia that I got to find a rule in Virginia that's equated to that same rule, right?
You got to find a rule. Not only do you have to find that rule, you have to find the law that talks about claiming unclaimed goods, unclaimed money. When you send that law, the birth certificate and the certificate of ownership, they're going to contact you. Then they're going to say it's out of their hand. You got to talk to the treasury. Right?
Right.
They're not
okay.
talking about the treasury of the United States. They're talking about the treasury of your state. Now, what the treasury of your state is looking at is this. Are you registered as a 14th Amendment or are you someone with a nationality? Now, I'm showing y'all how to get the nationality on the state level and the federal level. On the state level, that's when you change your name and change your nationality on the birth record and the actual birth certificate. Then after that, you're supposed to expatriate, and that takes you out of the system as a 14th Amendment on the federal level. So you got two levels. You got to take yourself
right.
out of the 14th Amendment. But after you do that, your new Moorish name becomes the heir or the beneficiary to the decedent, which used to be your old name, which was the 14th Amendment citizen.
So how do you? So I think I'm clear with that. So how do you activate your 4th Amendment citizen if you claiming if you're out of the system, right?
Uh huh.
If you're
That's why I need you to do it before you get out. You got to make the claim of ownership before you get out. Now, remember, you're saying...
Under your Moorish name.
You're asking me... Check it out. You're asking me, well, Jonah, if your new name is Jonah Bay, what that got to do with Jonah Scott? Well, your records prove that Jonah Scott changed his name to Jonah John Bay and changed his race to Moore. So he's the owner and he's private. Now let me show you what the 14th Amendment says at the bottom. At the bottom. I'm only concerned with the bottom right now. At the very bottom of the 14th Amendment in the section 4, it says, but neither the United States nor the state shall assume or pay any debt obligation incurred in the aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States or any claim of loss of emancipation of any slave, but all such debts, obligations, and claims shall be held illegal and void. So they just said they don't give no money to 14th Amendment citizens. So once you stop being a 14th Amendment citizen, you become a Moor again. Your nationality is Moor. You're not a United States citizen. If they don't give money to 14th, it means that they give money to nationals, people who are free. Got it? This ain't me saying it. This is the Constitution saying it.
So basically, the people that are free are operating from the private.
They're rich. They got all the securities. They rich as a bitch. The laws don't apply. You just left hell and entered into God's kingdom.
Right. I got it.
Now, remember, Jonah didn't tell you that. I just read that from the 14th Amendment, which is the Constitution. This is why HJR 192 doesn't work the way it's supposed to for y'all. Because y'all are 14th Amendment.
Right. It only works.
It only works when they want it to work. But boom, when you stop being a 14th Amendment citizen, a U.S. citizen, it got to work every time. Because
so I was learning registering and all of that, man, and that's it didn't make sense to me.
Right.
I was reading the books on constitute a perfected security interest and all of that, and how
right.
It was
mm-hmm.
192.
Well, you know,
revolution supposed to apply to you.
Authentication came from the UCC telling us how to perfect security interests. That's where I got it from. I got it from.
Yeah,
I got it from 311, 312, 313.
Yeah.
What? You still can't perfect it as long as you have the 14th Amendment hanging over your head.
Right.
They won't pay out.
So, on a spiritual level, basically,
mm-hmm.
when you accept your own, right? When
right.
you accept your own, and everything is rendered unto you.
Yes. On a spiritual level, you can't serve two masters. Come out of her,
yeah.
my people. Be
right.
born again,
right.
my people. Everything I'm saying is biblical, God. Everything I'm saying is biblical.
Right.
You got to do what the biblical, the Bible says, and guess what? You become part of the 144,000. In their rules,
absolutely.
They got it as Rule 144A. In the Bible, they call it 144,000.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah. Yeah, you dropped the mean piece on I think it was March show, what's his name? What's the brother
Ron
radio
Mark.
Station?
Ron
March. Man, I was done. I was done when I heard
Thanks.
That.
Thanks.
Hey brother, I really appreciate I appreciate everything. I got you said Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is how close to Virginia.
Yeah. That's
where close
I told
to Virginia.
That. I think
okay.
it is.
You're gonna be teaching on the same one that you're teaching on right now.
Yo,
the subject
I'm
that
going
you going around the world
to
with that.
Show y'all, I'm going everywhere
right.
to show y'all how to become Moors, man. I'm going everywhere
yeah.
I can.
Sure.
See, the places that are cheaper, I'm going there first, and then I'm gonna start going to the hard to reach places.
Well, I'm trying to get out this system. I'm on parole too, right? This is one of the things. I think I have to get out first, and then I think that's the process, right? Expatriate
uh-huh.
myself and come out the system,
you first,
and then
you
I can.
First gotta change, you first got to get a nationality before you go in the do the expatriation.
When you say get a nationality to claim my righteous name, right? As a
yep, you got to change your name, your righteous name, and proclaim your nationality before you go for expatriation.
Okay. Okay, I got you. Because otherwise, you'd be expatriating, and you won't be going nowhere. You'd be just expatriating back to yourself, wouldn't you?
If you expatriate now without doing it, you will become stateless. They could kick you out of America. And you would have left all the securities inside the United States.
I heard you teach on that with a brother that did that. He claimed this stuff was from the he was a rapper too.
Which rapper?
One of them. You mentioned a brother that was a rapper that did that, and they kicked them out and sent them to the Morris.
Your boy Mos Def.
Mos Def. He can't even come into America no more.
Right. Well, he got in trouble in Africa, so they deported his ass back to America. So he's in America right now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was Mos Def. I thought it was somebody else.
It was Mos Def. They call him Yasin Bey, but it's Mos Def. Yasin Bey is his Moorish name. See, what it is he's the brother that never corrected his nationality. Right? So therefore, he became stateless, so that's why they were able to do that to him.
Okay. So proclaim my nationality first, do that, and then I get the expiation.
Yeah. You need to come to one of the seminars, and we're going to show you exactly how to do it, brother. So you don't make no mistake.
Absolutely. All right, I've just been studying, man. I'm not going to make a mistake because I can't. I did 24 years in prison. I can't run the risk of going to prison for not taking my time.
Right. You're not. See, the great thing about the shit I teach you, you never have to worry about the shit I teach you getting you locked up. But it does jam you up. It jams you up on how long it's going to take you to fix it and get out. You know what I mean? So I like people to take their time and get to learn it real good and not fuck up. You know what I mean? That's how. Mm-hmm. That's good money. That's good money.
So I'm gonna shoot you that information, man, because that injunction was what I was shooting for, but it didn't come out right. Like 9 minutes. I got 9 minutes, and on the first 9 minutes, I noticed what you put up there. I never seen it before. You had the flag turned down, and you was going into that, right? I was like, wow, man, I was all excited, but the junk messed up, and Let me send you the face, the drive, and you can put it on and send it back to me. How you want me to do that?
You could send a drive to me, or I can send it out a drive to you. It doesn't matter. And matter of fact, when you give me the information, I'm gonna try to send it electronically to you tonight, so you can start watching it again.
All right, that'll work.
All right. Peace to the God.
Yes, sir. Peace to the God, brother.
All right. We going to 973-641. Peace to the God. Peace.
Peace to the God. JJ Bay, man.
What up? How the hell you always get in there and get to the top? How you always get to the top?
No, man. Listen. You know I know the secret, bro. I'm in there, man. In there, bro. You know what I'm saying? Trying to always be here, trying to see what's popping.
So,
you always got some jewels for us.
So what you think about that jewel I dropped about, you know, you got to go through the American Consul's office to fix your shit.
I mean, you say it. I mean, this is like the fifth time you done said it. You ain't got no choice. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
This is a whole other document that's telling you to do it.
I know, but at the same time, all those documents, you know, all them documents lead back to one another, man.
Yeah, they're all confirming it. One is confirming the other, and vice versa, man.
Absolutely.
But you know how your boy Jonah Bay do, man.
Yeah.
I give y'all proof, man. Yeah, I want to make sure y'all know this ain't my opinion, man.
Word.
I don't give you opinion. I give you the law.
I mean, you've been doing that shit for so long. I'm surprised you still have to say it. But like you know, you got the new people
it's
out there.
It's for the new people.
Yeah, so you have no real choice.
People.
You have to. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But yo, on some extra dope shit. Yo, so let me ask you this too. What you was reading? That's that new public law you just found out about?
Huh?
Is that new public law you just found out about that you said earlier?
Yeah, that's the one I just found out about today, and I read it. Yeah.
Word. See? Damn. So that should go along with the other public
now,
law.
Now, you know what's crazy? What's crazy is now that I've read it all the way a couple of times, I remember seeing this already before.
Right.
I think it's on my hard drive of my my big ass hard drive I walk around with. I got so much information on that hard drive, I don't even know what's on that bitch. You know? But yeah, I've read this before.
That was one of them joints you scammed, huh? I know you scammed that shit.
Yeah,
skimmed that shit.
You know what I mean?
All gravity,
but know exactly what it's saying now. You know, a lot of times you introduce this shit, you think it had no significance at the time. You go back and see that shit later, and you understand exactly what the shit is.
Right. In which case, it's dope. That means you basically weren't supposed to read it then. You got some other, gathered some other information before you got to it.
What it is? I look at it like this. It was meant for you to just be acclimated to it, get you familiar with it. It wasn't meant for you to understand it at that time. You see what I'm saying?
Word, that's true.
It was just the introduction. It was the introduction.
That's a better way to put it. Yeah, that's a way better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Remember, y'all, I'm a student just like y'all, man. I mean, we figuring this shit out. We putting the pieces
straight
of the puzzle back together.
They'll stay students all day long, man. It's a beautiful thing. Let me ask you a question about, I know you don't really like this topic, but let me ask you anyway, man, about foreclosure.
Yeah, man.
Would you say that it's just too late?
Let me say this. I had a consultation today. I was talking to a brother. The brother knows how to do it. He did 4 houses already. He's supposed to be sending me the information tonight. I'm gonna find the corresponding laws. I'm gonna test it out. If it tests out, I'm gonna have some shit for y'all. But go ahead.
Word, okay. So what do you think? Would you say it's too late after a sheriff's sale?
Well, his process doesn't deal with it being too late and doing it. He does it before there's an issue, but you might be able to do it after the fact, too. I don't know. I have to study it myself. I'm a student. The nigga is about to show me how to do it.
Word up. Now, that's dope. Now, my man's got the original deed. My man's got the original deed, right? And we're in the process of setting up his foreign trust. So I'm trying to figure out whether or not we can slap that on the record. You know what I'm saying? Because I know you were saying that first in line, first in time. But I think a lot of the reason with these foreclosures and people that had them problems is because they're not the bank. They're so-called loaning them money, in which case we all know that they're not. But they're also not doing the UCC lien like they're supposed to. You know what I'm saying? And that's in TILA 26.
They didn't put the lien in. They did a non-UCC lien. They got that lien somewhere else instead of being in the UCC office because you could extinguish it easily if it was where it was supposed to be. So MERS, is a non-UCC filing system. MERS is blocking you from discharging it and shit like that. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They're playing dirty.
And that's when you're dealing with MERS. As a matter of fact, it may just be all of the
Yo, even if you're not dealing with MERS, they got another one, and they got all
they
the
got another
other
one
under different names, but they operate the same as MERS.
Yeah, that's all I'm seeing. I'm seeing it that way too, because I mean, you know, now they got
once we get you to the end of the road, you can go. First of all, you're never gonna lose the money because the money has been turned into securities.
The house has been turned into securities.
So let's just say you know, you lost the house, right?
Right.
Once we get to the end, you'll be able to collect the securities for that house, and the securities is 9 times the amount that the house was
worth. The amount of the house. Right.
Now, I
definitely believe that. I definitely believe that. You know what I'm saying? But that would mean
that's how their banking system works. It's called fractional reserve banking. See, we always thought that the banks get to keep all the money. That's not what's happening. What the banks do is send the security money to the comptroller of your state, which the comptroller puts it in the CAFR account. So the money is sitting down there, and you can't get to it because you didn't know how to proclaim your nationality and stop being a U.S. citizen and put in for unclaimed funds.
Right. Yeah, that's something
now,
like
that's not even dealing with the paperwork that we're going to do to register you as 144A.
Right.
You know, that's why I said I'm concentrating on getting out instead of trying to stop this, trying to stop that. You'll be stuck stopping shit for the rest of your life if you do that. I said, man, let me concentrate on one thing, the big problem. The big problem in the commerce. That's the only thing I concentrated on.
Right. Right. Now, I mean, you know, I mean, I think that's the way to go. It's kind of like taking one thing, sticking to it until it's accomplished, and then you can work on other things later.
Because your mind can't be divided, and then you get the goal that you want. You got to stay focused, man.
Which is very true. All right, now when it comes to this, the Articles of Confederation and the Constitutions and stuff like that, how do you enforce the fact that these older constitutions are still in force and effect in the court of law?
Good question. Good question. I got to bring up the 14th Amendment again. I got to break it down why they be trying to stop you from using those constitutions. But then I'm going to take you right back to what I showed earlier in the Georgia Constitution. But hold on. It said in the 14th Amendment, it said, hold on, what part am I looking for? I think
I'm talking about being able to use the older joints, you know what I mean?
I understand. Hold on. I got to show you the conflict of laws, brother. I got to show you the conflict of laws. Now, it says, Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, just the federal constitution, all persons born and naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, this is what stops the state's constitution right here. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges and immunities of the citizens of the United States. See, if you were born in the United States, you're a citizen of the United States. The state can't make a law to protect you.
Right.
And it says, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction equal protection of the law. So what the government is saying to it, the U.S. corporation is saying to the state, you cannot tell me what to do with my slave, my property. You can make laws for the state citizens, but you cannot make laws for the United States citizens, right? But hold on. Let me show you what Georgia Constitution. Now, that was democracy. I was reading the rules of democracy right there. But let me read the rules of the Republic. I read it earlier. Section 4. Of 1877 Constitution. It says, paragraph 2, legislative acts in violation of this Constitution or the Constitution of the United States are void and the judiciary so shall declare. You have to push on them that, yo, you got to follow this Constitution because the 14th Amendment is void because it went against this Constitution. Because this Constitution says the only way you can force the 14th Amendment on me is if I signed it in writing, agreeing to it. Contract.
Right, and I heard, and I definitely heard you say that earlier.
They don't have
straight
a contract
up.
For you to be. But see, how they're getting you with the 14th Amendment is, it's voluntary.
It's
voluntary. It's
voluntary, yeah.
Now, the voluntary portion is, they assume y'all all are in it. Until you sign the paperwork in front of the consulate and say, I don't want to be a U.S. citizen.
Right.
So until you do that, you agree.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
You have to
rebut
the presumption by saying, I don't want to be a U.S. citizen. Now, that's called expatriation renunciation.
Now, this
resigning
is something that we
from being a 14th Amendment citizen. Huh?
Yeah, this is something that we should be, this is something that we should know at like 17 and be prepared to do. Or
who
or is it
is
just
gonna teach it besides me and y'all? I'm hoping y'all when y'all learn and get free, y'all gonna teach it to people. No one's
yeah,
out
well,
there
I'm talking
teach.
About like for our children. You know what I'm saying? Like for our children.
Oh,
say, for instance,
I'm
you know
teaching my kids now.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
Now.
So, yeah. So, they, so, so at 18 years old, they need to go do that.
What you mean? I'm
not
gonna have them do that before. I'm gonna do it for them before. You know what I mean?
Mm. Okay,
I'm changing their name and nationality soon. What are you talking about?
Right.
I'm doing it for.
Word. Okay, you can do that. That's dope. That's extra dope.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
my
nigga. Say word, nigga.
Yes.
Shit.
Word.
We on that, then,
man. Word.
We on that. The nigga's definitely trying to.
We on that,
so,
man.
So, okay, so when
this
you,
is
when,
why I'm
when
trying so hard to get the information to the people.
Right. Right. And you're doing a good ass job, man. Everybody just got to be up on it. That's it.
Well, thank
ready
you, bro.
With that shit. You know what I'm saying? Doing a wonderful job, brother. You know what I mean?
Thank
straight
you.
Up.
All right,
basically
peace to
that.
God. I'm going to move on to the next caller and see what they dealing with. Peace, God.
Peace.
All right, I'm going to 303-669. Peace to the God. Peace. 303-669. I guess they just want to listen. Guess they just want to listen. There ain't no problem with that. I'm going to 612-478. Peace to the God.
Peace. Peace to the God, Jonah Bay. This is God, Aziz out of Minnesota.
What up, yo? You got me on speakerphone or something? You kind of muffled.
Yeah. Can you hear me better now? I'm in the car. It's a hands-free. I can't. Hold that phone
yeah, it's a little muffled, but I can hear you. Go on, bro.
Okay. I got two issues. I didn't complete my ABC yet, but I did get it. You know, I'm from New York too, so I had to get the letter of what's that word on the page? The letter of
right.
exemplification. I got
exemplification.
That.
Exemplification. They make us do exemplification
right.
first. Yeah.
So I got that. Now I told you they made it easier. Now if you can actually get to the office of identification, you can get that done in 3 days. So it don't got to be that 2-3 month process that we've been waiting for. I know. That, so that's that. Now my first
had a problem getting it in New York. The problem is when
right.
you send it off to Virginia, they make you wait.
See, nah, you ain't got to do that now. You can actually go to Virginia, drop it off at the Secretary of State on
a
Monday
and
come
pick
it up.
Oh, they let you do that again.
Yeah, you can go pick it up on the. Yeah, so
yeah.
you drop. So basically. You had your people
Hold
do that,
on.
So I just sent it to my people.
I used to have to wait 3 days. I used you.
Nah, they make you wait
you go in there in
day.
The morning. You go in there in the morning. You wait 3 hours. You come back at noon. It was done.
If you go at like 7 o'clock, you might could do that, but you no.
Yeah,
they only let you do
it.
That. They only let you do that now when you could already prove that you really living in another
flying
country.
Flying somewhere. You're going somewhere.
Right. So they want proof that it's time sensitive and that you need to bounce like now. They'll do it the same day.
Right. All right.
But now they back to you drop it off Monday, you come pick it up Thursday.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. Now, question. This child support injunction, is it the child support injunction that I would get from you? Is it stronger and hold more weight if I got my authenticated birth certificate, or can it be done right now?
It's stronger with everything. The authenticated birth certificate, in my experience and everyone else's, made everything stronger.
Okay.
There is no bulletproof, but it makes it stronger like a motherfucker.
Okay, now I got another issue. This is Consultation Wednesday. I got another issue.
Yeah.
My homegirl, she real close to me. Her husband, he got locked up. I looked at the paperwork, and it's like he was railroaded, Jonah Bay. Like, it's because, you know, when you got a nasty attitude and they be investigating you, when it come down to throw you under the bus, prosecutors like, this dude don't got a life. He's a jackass. You know how it is when you involved in the court. Sometimes it's just the mood of the court. So basically, I read the paperwork. They don't got the brother on nothing. Everything they violated is right. They won't give him the discovery. They just violating everything I'm learning from you. They violating. But he is a 14th Amendment citizen. And they didn't have a case. So check it out. He blew trial. They gave my man 20 years. I'm hurting. I'm like, damn, he ain't even heard nobody. So I'm like, what's the cost of action?
What did you charge on?
They got him on they got him on one of them federal statutes, not the 828, one of those 858s, 838s, one of them. One of those kingpin joints. You know what I'm saying? They got him on a federal kingpin charge. So I was going to have her do a consultation with you sometime.
I would tell you, you got to make that girl come to one of our seminars. She needs to change his status to more and all that as quick as possible so we could do a habeas corpus on the fact that he's a Moroccan. He's more. He ain't supposed to be in there.
Now, you did say that as long as nobody was hurt during the whole investigation or none of that, there's no crime against a physical body, no property, that is just all paperwork and all money and bonds. Right? You said as long as there's no violence, we got a chance, right? Okay, brother.
Exactly.
All right, brother. So, all right. So
I want to change his status and go after it that way. You know what I mean? Make it stronger.
Okay. It's always a blessing to talk to you, brother. You know we love you in Minnesota, so come out here and get some of this snow one more time. You know what I'm saying?
All right. No doubt.
Peace to the God. Peace to the God.
Yo, I do not know why people be calling me while I'm on the air. Like, do you really think I'm going to stop talking on the radio and talk to you? Come on, man. What kind of shit is that? All right, I'm going to 904-412. Peace to the God. Peace.
Peace to the gods, Jonah. Shoot me that login, man. Let me put it in my phone.
Which one?
If you still got it in front of you. The one you read.
The pup. Okay. Hold on. I think I do. I hope I do. Yeah. All right. It's Public Law 857, August 1st, 1956.
Got
See,
it.
If you was in
August
the chat,
1st.
I put it in the chat. Yo, y'all know y'all.
Man,
you know, I be dropping
the link. The chat
there.
Don't come up on my computer, bro.
Damn.
It don't come up. Yeah, that's what I be tripping on that. It don't come up on my computer. You said 1956, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man, this is hardcore. And then you went into something, bro, that I hadn't quite heard, and as much as I stay on the shows, you said when you authenticate the BC and you got your affidavit of ownership, you said send the affidavit of ownership to the registrar?
Affidavit. Remember, you don't have a counter deed unless the affidavit is connected to the authenticated BC. It's always supposed to be connected and go everywhere with it.
Right. So you say, okay, so the affidavit of ownership only goes to the registrar, or the affidavit of ownership and a copy of the authenticated birth certificate?
Yeah, you can give up the copy.
Give up the copy.
I'm gonna keep it real, my nigga. I don't give my original to no one. That's my title.
Right, no doubt, no doubt. I'm just getting it together. I'm just getting it together. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I'm from Illinois, Cook
never
County.
Never give no one the title to your car. You give them the
oh,
title
yeah, I'll never
to your
do that.
Car.
I always send copies.
You created a trust. You're not the owner of the car no more.
Right. So
yeah.
Now you said send it to the registrar, and he gonna do what and send it back to you? Talking about you got to go to the state treasurer.
You send that. You got to find the law for unclaimed goods and proclaim this is your property and you
in that
claiming
state.
Your unclaimed money.
Now you said a state law.
No, I did not. I
oh,
said
a public
state
law,
not e-state. The state's law on
right,
unclaimed
right, yeah, that's
money.
What I said. That's what I said. The state law on
oh,
unclaimed
okay.
monies.
Yeah, yeah.
And boy, man, I'm gonna have to get a consultation on this here, because I had never heard this part. I might have missed a couple shows here and there, but
mm-hmm.
as much as I stay on, I hadn't heard this piece yet.
Right,
because
right.
I hadn't
now,
done that. I hadn't.
The chat said, "Yo, they tried to file with the registrar of Cook County. They wouldn't let them do it. You have to
right.
have the unclaimed goods law with it, right? And also, what they be looking at is, yo, if you still listed as a 14th Amendment, why would they even let you do it?"
So we probably need to go through expatriation renunciation first.
At least need to change the goddamn on your nationality on the birth certificate and all that before you might want to, you know. I don't know what he tried to do in Cook County. We would have to look at his situation and try to
right.
get around it. I don't know.
Right. So now this is what you're dropping in the seminars. To change the nationality on the birth certificate first.
Of course I am. I'm already giving y'all a taste tonight. Shit. You
know
what I
mean? I know, yeah, because I hear it. Because I'm like, wait a minute, I ain't heard none of this shit before.
I always spill the beans before a seminar, man.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Yeah.
I be studying shit, and I be wanting to talk about what I just studied.
And I can tell you keep a lot on your mind because I do the same thing. I be forgetting stuff that I know, and I just can't get it through because I got so much in my head, and I can hear you doing the same thing. But
yes,
okay,
sir.
So definitely change the nationality on the birth certificate first before you do anything, really.
I mean, I don't know. I did my a birth certificate to the registrar years ago when I did authentication. You see what I'm saying?
See, bro, this is my first time hearing that, bro. That's just real talk.
That's the Rule 220. It tells you in Rule 220. I told y'all read the law, didn't I?
Yeah. Hold on.
Hear it out. Check it out. I'm at Rule 220. Hold on. Let me put it in the chat. Let me show y'all. See, I purposely didn't explain it all the way. I'm showing y'all the reading. If you read it, it tells you. It's the first thing it says, right?
I do remember that.
It says, the registrar of titles is authorized to receive for registration of memorials any outstanding certificate or title, right? So it just told you that the registrar is to receive the title. So when you get all this shit done, you give it to him.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Now let me say this, and maybe some people can bear witness to this, bro. Like I say, bro, we barely just not knowing how to read. You think we know how to write? You see what I'm saying?
Say no
and
more.
Then follow instructions
no
all the way through to get results.
Say
and then
no
if
more.
We don't get the results, know how to check them. You know
I
what I'm saying? We, we got a long way to go, bro. Because, bro, you know I've been with you since before you said
that.
So I know.
Before I even got on the radio, you was coming.
So I know it's hard for me. I know it's hard for other listeners, and especially newbies, bro. This is some, like I told you, the tip of the sword, bro. This is the tip of the sword.
See, sometimes I gloss over shit thinking y'all would get it. I never thought that would be an issue. I thought y'all knew it's the first sentence.
Well, and then another thing, we so hung up on entrusting you and your instructions, you see what I'm saying? That's just the human nature of things. And if we don't necessarily hear it and it computes, we just going to keep on going with what we comfortable with until you check it.
I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
I got you.
So, because like I say, you know how long I've been with you, and I ain't never heard we had to send it back to the state registrar. You
now,
know what I'm saying? Then you put another
this.
Little piece on there, send it to the treasurer.
Yeah. Pinta Minna. Let me Patat Minna. Let me say, send it registered mail. Send it in the mail, man. Don't go there in person.
Right.
You know what I mean? We got to figure out what's going on, man. Most likely, you weren't talking to the actual registrar. You was talking to some peon that told
some 9 to 5
was told to send you away. Yeah,
90%
of the time, you are not getting to the right person. They have peons in your way.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, y'all can't do what y'all need to do. Now, when you send it through the mail, it goes to the person, especially if you send it restricted mail. You know, so I suggest you try to do it that way, God. You know. But anyway, hey, thanks for calling in. I'll talk to you soon.
No doubt, pimp, no doubt.
All right, peace to the God. All right, I'm taking one more call. It's a quick call, and I'm fuck up out of here. I told you it's a short show. 917-484. Peace to the God. Peace.
Hi, peace.
Peace. Hi.
Hello? Okay. Hi.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a quick question. I'm so glad I got on.
Okay.
Okay, so I just got my authenticated birth certificate back, and I went to the New York webinar, seminar that you guys had here in the city. So I was unclear, is the first thing the affidavit or the injunction? Right after your authenticated birth certificate.
Okay, now that you did authentication, I'm going to tell you, do your affidavit and then staple it to your birth certificate, authenticated birth certificate, okay?
Okay.
Then after
that,
do your injunction. I want you to try to get it to the registrar of deeds, all right?
Okay, so when I file it, because I live in New York, but I'm from California, so I know I got to send it back to where I was, to the county I was born in, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So after I get it, get the affidavit of ownership, staple it to the authenticated, a copy of the authenticated birth certificate.
No.
Get that.
You need to staple the actual affidavit to the actual authenticated birth certificate.
Oh,
then
okay.
Make copies. Then make copies.
Oh,
and
actual
send it
and then
you,
make copies.
According to me, this is what I mean. If you bring up Rule 220,
yes.
Rule 220,
mm-hmm.
It tells you it must be attached for you to be the
owner. Okay, has to be attached.
See, that's what I'm saying. Y'all not reading it thoroughly. Y'all not reading Rule 220 thoroughly. You know, so as he said, I'm going to check y'all right now. It says, I'm looking for the part where it says it must be attached. Yeah, providing there is attached to said.
Oh, I see it.
You have to attach it.
Okay, I got it. So that goes to, and when you file it, you're filing it under the register of deeds, not miscellaneous.
Right. If you absolutely can't get it done at the register of deeds, I tell you to put it in miscellaneous under a non-deceased and then pull it out and then send it to the registrar. Because now he has to accept it because it is what? Certified.
Right, right.
See, I gave y'all tricks in case these things started giving you problems.
Yeah, yeah. You did. That's why I just want to be clear, because I went to the, it was so much information in the seminar. I couldn't, I thought I wrote down everything, but I said, let me just check before I do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So,
idea so many people had misconceptions on authentication, man. Damn.
Yes.
Are y'all telling me I need to do a new webinar on authentication?
No. Well, I think, well, for the, for the New York seminar, you went in so heavily on the expatriation and the history behind it.
That's the
the
order of the day is that.
Right, right. So I don't think the first few steps was that clear, because I remember most of the last part of it. So that's why I just said let me just make sure. So one last question. So after it is filed with the Register of Deeds, then you do the injunction.
Say that one more time.
After it's filed with the Registrar of Deeds,
then
do the injunction.
Yeah. Protect yourself.
Okay.
All right. And
then
keep on listening to the show where we break down the next step and the next step and the next step. All right?
Yes, I will, and I'll be ordering some more webinars.
All right. Yeah, because
you're
going to have to learn how to become private. You're going to have to get your 9-8 EIN.
Yes.
You're going to have to get your 4-5 state EIN. It's not going to be 4-5. It's probably going to be 8-6 now. I don't know what number it's up to. But
then
you're going to have to learn how to turn it into CPNs to get credit on that number.
Right.
You're going to have to get your private IDs, which you're going to have to contact me personally in my email so I can give you the information for that. You know, it's for quite a few steps. So make sure you call me and keep on asking the question, what's next? All right?
Okay, cool.
Like, you got
perfect
3832s to do after you get those EINs and shit.
Damn.
You got
okay.
You got some trust indentures to do and shit. It's all types of shit.
Yeah.
Yo, you got to take all your bills out of the name of the social off the social and put it in your trust name on those bills.
Right.
It's all types of shit you got to do, girl.
Okay. All right, then. I'm ready for it, too. I'm down for it. So I just want to make sure, as long as I'm making sure each step is right, I'm good.
All right, then. Wonderful talking to you. Keep up the good work. Peace to the God.
All right,
guys. Thanks to the show. You know, I got the seminar to do this weekend. It was going to be a short show today. I will see y'all again soon. We up out of here. Peace to the God. Hold on. Let me get some going away music. Here you go.
Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like the Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out at Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely leave from.